from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. You know, I don't have anything, you know, naturally hilarious to say like I usual. Totally, you know. But I do want to say that I'm glad you're here. And you're important to me. Your sleep, your rest, your ability to flourish and live your life. But mostly, you know, putting you at ease, that's important to me. You're important to me. It's a different way, you know, because it's a digital sense. But, you know, I'm here to help. This is the way I can do it. So I'm glad you're here. Or if you're new, I'm here to try. And what do I mean? It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're regular listeners Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time for a sleepy supporter zone, and I want to thank Stay at Castle Mom for purchasing sleep phones using our code SLEEPWITHME. You could buy custom sleep phones also at our merch store, sleepwithmepodcast.com/store, or you could buy them over at Sleep Phones and use the code SLEEPWITHME for $5 off. But thank you, Stay Castle Mom, for supporting the podcast, getting your sleep phones. Hope they're comfortable. We celebrate you as a part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And if you want to be on Sleepy Supporter Zone, just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Check out a sponsor whose product appeals to you, and then let us know about it. Tag me, tag the sponsor, and I'll try to find a way to thank you on the show, if not in person or online. Thanks so much. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people who work very hard on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. You know, follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Dearest Scooter. Those are the most good places to get a hold of me. Make sure you're subscribed to the show and whatever podcast app you use, and then you can share. You know, it's a great way to share the show. It's right out of your podcast app. whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Podcasts, whatever app you use, you subscribe and then share the show right out of your app. Great way to let other people know about the show. And what do you say? We get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, the physical sensations, stuff like that that's keeping you up. It could be outside stuff. It could be, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to take your mind off of that. I think I said that. I was trying to think of something because I always say that. I said, what I'm going to do is send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. I'm going to use gentle motions with my hands to create a safe place. Kind of carving it out, smoothing it out, patting it. I'm rubbing it down. I'm saying safe place. Lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet, pointless meanders. I forget how circuitous logic. All those things. I'm going to send my voice across the deep. Lulling, pointless meanders. I honestly forgot what I say next, to take your mind off stuff and help you fall asleep, to keep you company if you can't fall asleep. And honestly, sometimes my brain runs out. They say, what was in there? What were we supposed to say next? I don't know, but I guess I'm supposed to kind of greet you. I did change up the order there. I think that's what threw me off, but I'm the podcaster who's naturally thrown off anyway. But I'm here if you're new. Or if you're a new regular listener, you might say, Scoots, this is going a little bit different. I say, yeah, well, we're staying calm. We're staying in the moment. I'm staying here for you to keep you company. Now, if you're new, a couple of things I'd like you to know right up front. This podcast is a little bit different. So we try to kind of sink in, relax, and kind of observe me with a little bit of distance if you're new. Because you kind of say, well, this doesn't make a lot of sense. This show defies logic. And I said, well, I don't really defy logic. I just noticed, is that Spock that says, well, that's illogical? Can you imagine, so Spock was on the original Star Trek. I think he used to say, well, that's like Spock and Vulcans like logic. I'm pretty sure this is I guess a broad generalization. Excuse me, Vulcans. I don't know. I guess Spock would find me logical. But actually, the thing is, you don't need to be a Vulcan to find me logical. There you go. That's what I meant. If you're a human, you're going to find me, most people follow some sort of logic. This podcast, it kind of peters out, doesn't go anywhere, gets started, then slows down a bit. And you say, you're right. So if you're new, those are some things you could kind of, instead of, I say, well, I don't really defy logic or expectation. I just kind of drive around it. I take the long way around. There you go. Like some people say, I take the long way. I say, well, yeah, I saw the logic and I drove. I said, well, that's a logical way to go, right? And they said, oh, did you say go right at logic? Okay. Well, there's some grass in the road there. So I'm going to take this other path here in the middle, not right and not that logical way. Just off there. Not off the beaten path either. That area next to it. Oh, that's not a path? Well, that's the way I went. So that's the way I'll go. So if you're new though, let me get back to you. Sorry, I got lost in my, I took a wrong turn at logic, just like Bugs Bunny used to take a wrong turn at Pismo Beach. And as a kid, I guess I missed the heydays of Pismo. Okay, here's a question. Was that just a joke or did Pismo Beach have a heyday? Also to a lot of people. So Bugs Bunny, back before there used to be two big cartoon groups. There's the Warner Brothers cartoons, and then there was the company DISNEY. So you had the mouse, like Mickey Mouse, and you had Bugs Bunny. And I'm no historian, but and I think it was before my childhood, but even during my childhood, while Bugs Bunny was losing momentum, again, maybe to marketing dollars, maybe just to beloved, maybe because you could go visit the other one. But Bugs Bunny was another cartoon like figure that was really liked by kids, a little bit more acerbic and more of a trickster god than Mickey. No offense, Mickey. You know, Mickey's more of an aw shucks, let me help you carry that suitcase, or, oh, you got, like, Mickey's, like, Mickey, you got great, I can't find a flaw with you in the opening of a sleep podcast, but Bugs Bunny was a little bit more of a, well, okay, so what was my point? I have no idea what my point was. Oh, Bugs Bunny, you seek to take a wrong turn at Pismo Beach, and I guess I'll have to Google it. I thought that was maybe in L.A. or like somewhere, but then I said maybe it's in Florida, or maybe it's just a beach they saw on a map, and they said that's the that must be a great beach. Because as much as I love California, we have really nice beaches for sitting on and looking at the beauty of the ocean, especially in Northern California. But as far as swimming goes, which I associate with beaches, I mean, I think the Southern California's got that, you know, pretty good. But you have to drive pretty far south. I think you got to get all the way down. I don't know. I've never I'd have to see about, like, San Luis Obispo or something. I've never swam there. But usually you got to get all the way down to, like, Ventura County, I think, to get good swimming. But me, I don't know. So maybe they say, well, that's where Pismo Beach is, Scoots. And I said, well, I took a wrong turn at remembering Pismo Beach, Bugs Bunny. Anyway, what was my, so, oh, this podcast is a bit illogical. That was my, thank you, Spock, for bringing it back. I guess I could hire Spock to just hang out while I'm recording and say, well, that was illogical. And I'd say, thanks, but let me, like, to rail in my meanders. Okay, so where was I? If you're new, structurally, what to expect. The show starts off with a few minutes of business, and that's how we keep the show free for everybody, is the people that support the sponsors or become patrons. So that's a really nice thing, is like, this is shows communally supported by people that support the show. So that's why business is up front. There's also business between the intro and the episode. So there's a business, then there's an intro. Now, we're about 8 minutes into the intro, which is usually around 12 minutes or so of me kind of explaining what the podcast is and going off topic and then saying, well, okay, let me try to bring it back. And so, I guess I don't know what my point is. What the intro is. Oh, yeah. So, sorry, I was, like, thinking about... I was like thinking, like, originally I was going to talk about plants in this intro, and I said, well, I guess we're not going to be talking about plants this intro. Thanks, Bugs Bunny. Get Bugs Bunny and who's that, Spock? I think they have teamed up. I've seen a cartoon version of Spock somewhere, like a comedic version, but that could have been somewhere else. I don't think Spock and Bugs Bunny have appeared together, but that's, you know, it is not, it is within the realm of possibility. How about this? If you're going to Comic-Con or something like that, or some other con with cosplay that has, I don't know when the next Star Trek movie comes out, but, you know, there's a new Star Trek TV shows. I don't know if Spock's in any of those lineups, but go, what if you went to one of those dressed as Bugs Bunny? Like, let's just imagine it's a Star Trek con, like Trek con. You go as Bugs Bunny in a like Starfleet uniform. Yeah, but then you, at some point you take like your Spock dressed as Bugs Bunny in a Starfleet uniform. Too much? Okay. Okay. So the intro is a part of the podcast. It's not really efficient. It kind of, it drives around the logic, but it's a part of people's bedtime routine. About 95, I think, I can't remember the last statistic I said, you know, like maybe 8% of listeners kind of skip it or less, like skip the intro and go straight to the story. But for most listeners, they use this long intro, about 12 minutes, to get ready for bed, or they're already in bed and they're winding down, they're listening to Scoots. Some listeners are easing off in dreamland, and some, like you, are just getting comfortable and cozy. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Thanks again for coming by. So the intro is kind of a part of the show and a show within the show. And if you're new, some people can find it a bit frustrating because they say, are you going to ever start talking about Star Trek? And I'd say, yeah, I'm going to do that next in a little while. I'll be start talking about Star Trek The Next Generation. Been a while since I have. But yeah, so that's the structure. So we have the intro, then some business, then I'll talk about Star Trek The Next Generation, an episode. I'll talk about stuff that came up in the episode. It won't really be super reflective of the episode just because that's not my, that's just not what I'm good at. And it's not super sleepy. And then we have some thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. Here's a couple other things. You don't need to listen. You may have come to that conclusion yourself, or you say, but really, some people turn me way down, and some people listen to me at a mumble. But it's more like it's an optional thing. You can listen, but you don't have to. So you say, there's no pressure from my end for you to listen to me or remember. Or you say, well, you can't miss out on this part where I like confuse Bugs Bunny and you know, whatever, and confuse Pismo Beach, you know, with Ventura Beach or whatever. So I say, oh, yeah, I guess you could miss that. Like, it's okay with me, right? If you fell asleep or you just kind of were drifting in and out. So no need to listen, but there's also no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the shows are about an hour or a little bit over an hour is because I want to give you plenty of time. No pressure. You drift off, you drift off when you need to. I'll be here to keep you company. If you can't sleep, I'll be here till the end. I don't like make half a show and then start just droning on. I mean, I drone on, but it's with intention and ideally presence, that you could feel that I'm here for you to keep you company and to take your mind off of stuff. So no pressure to listen, no pressure to fall asleep. The reason I make the show is because, one, I've been there. Particularly lately, I've had the, haven't had the drift off issues, but I've had the just unsettled nights issues. We'll just leave it like that. And so I know how it feels, and I really truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. I want you to know, whether you're new or you're a regular listener, I'm glad you're here. I work very hard, I yearn and I strive, and I'd really love to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. All right, everybody, I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, everybody, we're back with Star Trek The Next Generation coverage. It's been a while, or more than a while, from your recording. And we're covering Star Trek The Next Generation Season 1, Episode 25, I believe, The Neutral Zone. And this is one Max from Cards recommended, and I've seen it before. I watched it a few more times, then I did my notes. It opens with the First Officer's log, not Riker's log, 419-86.0. We see we have a beardless Riker 04030. I don't know what that stands for. I know they're going to Starbase 718. 04030. I don't know what that is. That might be notes about something else or something. We see an ancient capsule. They see an ancient capsule. It could be headed towards Kazesis binary system. Yeah, but somebody says, I think not, Riker. Oh, he says it's a piece of space junk. Because Worf says, you want me to send it into Kazesis binary system? Or adjust its heading so it doesn't get destroyed? And Riker says, I think not, space garbage. Also have a note here to look up about stuff about Worf in Season 1. The data standing very straight. I had a couple of data questions. I didn't have a chance to research on this. I mean, presumably he has excellent posture. Do I need to readjust or will request permission to investigate? So you say, leave it be. Then they break it because Captain Picard's off on a mission. He's going to be back in several hours. Data says, request permission to investigate this ancient vehicle. And Riker says it's a derelict. Why you want to know? And Data says history. This is history, yo. I'm curious about it. We got out of the time, don't we? And Riker says you better be back before the captain gets back. And then he goes, Worf, keep an eye on him. And they say, aye, sir. And then we see a shot of the capsule. Oh, that was what the capsule has. 04, 03, and 02 on it. That was those numbers I said earlier. Because we see a shot of the capsule, they energize in. There could have been a dot matrix printer on the left side of the where they energize in. Solar Geminar. Oh, solar generator. Worf glares when he looks at the computer. He did research kind of computers at the time of when this episode came out, which was 1987. So we'll talk about that later. There's a clanging that gets Worf's attention. Then he says, he tries to open the door. He says, it must be the seal stuck or something. I don't know if Data was showing how strong he was or that you just use the handle because he opens the door without a problem. I put what question mark? It's a bit like the video game Fall to the Outs. And there's frost on the glass. There's capsules where you do a long sleep. Acoustic paneling inside. I said, that's nice. Like sound absorption panels. We get some Disney music and bells as they look in the different ones. O2's running close to empty, I think. That's what my handwriting says. Then Worf says, Commander, look at this. And then there's like a Disney theme park music on the Discovery. And then there's episode opens, the Neutral Zone. And they found three people. There's some mystery music. They're sleeping right now. Data's talking extremely loud. Like he's doing, like I caught my attention. He's doing loud talking. Just him and Worf. And I said, well, somebody, maybe Data has to go in for a hearing test. Refrigeration, in something Geordi, shuttle's coming. Let's say the captain. Oh no, everybody get back. Data. I don't know what this says. This is my handwriting. I'm not trying to be funny. We got some poop circles. Do it quick. So let me look through here. Yeah, let's see. They find... they're on extended journey. What are they? Why are they here? These are just for refrigeration only. Captain's shuttle's approaching. Number one, I want to get underway. We'll make the Data get back here. Unusual situation. We got three peeps, and we need to bring them back. Data or Riker says, you're going to bring them back here? And Data says, yeah, we got to. Do it quick. I don't know. We got some poop circles. That's really what my handwriting says. It has nothing to do with anything. It's probably something else, but I don't have no clue. Oh, people. Oh, that's what it was. It was a joke. Wasn't as funny as what I thought it was. Peepsicles. That's what I, the joke I wrote that I couldn't read my handwriting. We got some three peepsicles. Do it quick. Captain on the bridge. Picard starts, he says, give us LaForge 80058173. Got it. Then he says, number one, we got to have a staff meeting. And Geordi kind of questions, he goes, that's the neutral zone, boss. He goes, yeah, no, I'm in charge. He goes, warp factor 8, ICER, warp factor 8, engage. All business, that's what I said. That is correct. He says, save it for a staff meeting. What are you doing talking in front of the people that, come on. Kurt stands during the staff meeting, his arms like hugging the chair. He says, yeah, we got an assignment here. We're missing some outposts. Can't find them. No communication. And they say Romulans. And they say, yeah, that's it. There haven't been any talks since the Tomit incident. That was 50 years ago. We haven't heard anything from a Romulan. And Riker says, well, remember, this is all rumor, conjecture. Send on ship. The strategic, whatever that Starfleet or whatever says, they're going to send one ship, the Enterprise. And they say it's a gamble. Send us out your first encounter. It could be a setup. Riker says, let's assume that. And Picard says, well, we're not really there to use force. We're there to establish relations. So if we use force, we failed. And if we can't establish relations, we have to convince them of our resolve. It looks like they're the ones seeking trouble, and we don't want to give them that. We want to really know what they really want. We want to get to the bottom of this. Give me a full profile. 19 hours and 28 minutes will be there. Okay, let's have a meeting in 6 hours. Stay sharp. Qualcomm, no ball shard. I don't know what that means. Oh, he says, any questions? No one has any. So then, all star. Picard to Crusher. Picard goes to see Crusher. He says, so what is it, Doctor? She goes, it's the people from the capsule. He goes, capsule people? WTF? She goes, we thawed them out, the peepsicles. He goes, I don't even know what you're talking about. Data. She goes, I didn't know what to do. They're all sleeping. They had some minor stuff we fixed on all of them. Now back of them, tort, frozen after, WTF. Yeah, made me wonder, what's the lifespan, current lifespan on Next Generation? They said, oh, people used to worry about the big farm back then. Now, you know, that's one of the silly things those 21st century people did, 20th century. And I guess it worked. Data, get up here. He goes, look, I'm never critical of people being curious, but they were already at the big farm. Data said, it seemed like the proper thing to do. Goes, we'll have to treat them like they're humans. And he calls Worf in. Repeat to their no choice wake up builder. Let's see. So they say, okay, well, oh, before you wake them up, get Worf up here. They're going to be awake soon. We got no other choice. So then Beverly wakes one of them up. She kind of, the woman who wakes up, she's kind of smiling, like with a kind of dopey look on her face. You know, like she just woke up from a big sleep. She kind of smiles at a couple people until she sees Worf. Then she falls back asleep, and there's comedy music. And they say, welcome to the 24th century. And then there's more discs, more comedy. I think Data says, I checked the discs. About different things. You watch it. One of the other, Claire Raymond. Then you have Ralph Offenhaus, Liskfine. I don't know what that means. 55. Maybe that was it. A rich dude. And then LQ Sonny Clemens. He doesn't even have a file. He's a musician or something. And also he's in the club Scoots is in. Too afraid to live. Too scared to not, you know. Why? Oh, why? This is a question. I mean, it's answered, actually. At the time, I asked, why isn't Troy up there? He calls in number one. He goes, number one, you got to deal with this stuff. He's so irritated. Bacardi pulls his shirt down. He says, keep them out of my way. Then Picard explains, they're in blue, 12364. Data looks over his shell as a, what is that? Let me see what happens. So, you keep them out of my way. Riker's trying to explain everything to the people. And they're all dressed in blue. Okay, that's what that blue thing says. I don't know what 12364 means. 2364, that must be the year in their terms. Data looks over his shell at a, what is that? We're on the vessel. Oh, they say, what is this, a U.S. ship? They say, no, United Federation's a planet. Earth's a member of that. Oh, yeah, 2364. You're all in excellent health. Worked. What are you? Android, is that a robot? No, there's differences between those two. What about Worf? They talk about that would be a little bit more. They say, is this some sort of a hallucination? No, this is real. I love it when Data says, hooey, one of the dudes. Oh, let's see, I got ahead of myself. Klingon, 370 years ago, this is a long shot. Hooey. I love it. Data says hooey. I loved that moment. That's probably one of the high moments of the thing. And let's see. They talk, I don't know. There's a lot of exposition. Pride, thorns, shade. Claire throws some shade on her husband, Donald. Ralph humble brags. They say this whole thing you got, well, you, this was a fad after the, you know, popularity of the game falling out. He says, I got to make a phone call, read the Wall Street Journal. They say, what are you talking about, dude? Take it slowly. Then we cut to Troy. The reason why Troy wasn't there is because she's busy researching the Romulans and covering that with the card. Oh, Data says, hooey, hogwash, malarkey, jive, an intentional fabrication. So let's see, Troy says there's very little on the Romulans. Extremes, you know, can be nice and then not nice, related to the Vulcans, but different, very curious, belief beyond, superiority beyond arrogance, fascinated with humans, but they don't initiate anything, so you have to commit yourself. Picard goes, oof, good to know. Counter, okay. Counter measures, Data shows how to use the food, whatever that thing's called. He's teaching Sonny how to use the food thing. He said he gets a drink, and I said, is that a real drink or a fake drink? Then there's twang music. Cut on the TV, he says.
something delusion, sir, stopped in 2040, TV data. That's not good for us. It's not that long off. And they say boring. This is like modern kids without the internet, kind of. Riker laughs. They say, I got to get to the bridge. The dude, the rich dude says, with whom? He even uses proper, with whom are you speaking? Because Picard calls in on the speaker. And he goes, the captain. The guy goes, well, I'm rich, man. I'm used to, like, talking to captains. You ever heard of Captain Steubing? Right. And they goes, is that the one from that show? He goes, I don't know. I don't remember. But they say, yeah, let's get the boss in here. And then the sunny guy, he says, Data, we got to hang later. Like, he's using all sorts of slang, which Data likes. Captain good, all up to the captain. Oh, the guy, rich guy says, I got to call Geneva. And Riker says, I'll pass it along. Data and Riker walk in the hallway, talk. They throw some shade on the 21st century. They say, if this was about, these are the people in the 21st century, I don't need to get over there. Unusual humans. Then they check in, they're back in the ready room. Picard says, I want a report. They're 6 hours out in the neutral zone. 6 hours away. No 9 outposts. I don't know what that says. Can't get a hold of anybody, any of the 9 outposts. They're all gone. We have to consider information we have about the Romulans is out of date, Data says. They say, okay, well, what are they? Is the Romulans trying to start something? The Enterprise, Picard says, well, no, with the Federation, but, you know, they're sending the best, of course. That's us, Riker, grab, you know, pulls up his pallet or whatever, what do you call those things, his lapels. Picard says, what do you recommend? He goes, nah, I think we should assume the initiative. Worf says, I agree with Riker. This is it. We got to seize the day, carpe diem. Picard says, Data? And Data says, well, that's based on one premise, the intent of the Romulans. If the premise is sound, the proposal is. And I thought Sherlock Holmes would have liked that. Let's see. LaForge says, but if their intent isn't, you know, trouble, then what is it? Then the rich dude just calls on the speaker, Captain Picard, Ralph Laufenhaus here. And Picard's not happy. Ralph calls, I said, talks about the QE2. When Picard rolls in. Picard rolls in on him. He goes, excellent, I've been waiting to talk to you. Oh, first Picard says, number one, did you give him permission to contact? I said, don't you guys have PIN numbers on this thing? Or like touch ID? Or face ID? So Picard goes, first he's still talking back and forth to talk about the QE2. He goes, this isn't a cruise ship. And he demands a phone or radio. He goes, I got to make contact with my firm. And Picard goes, those things are for official ship business. And the guy goes, well, how come you don't need a PIN number? Like Scoot said, they said, people will exercise self-discipline here. Except for you. He goes, we got a lot going on, not just you three. We're dealing with something. And he goes, I don't care, man. This is the ego talking. And he goes, I'm cognizant of where I am and when. It's simply, I'm not like a, he goes, I'm upper class. You're working class, military. And Ricard is kind of dealing with this nonsense. He goes, a lot has changed. He goes, people aren't obsessed with accumulation of things. No hunger. No need for possessions. We've grown out of our infancy, you infant. And the guy goes, it's not about possessions. It's about control. And Picard goes, control's an illusion. And I couldn't tell if this was like a parallel conversation for the Romulans, because I'm not like, my intellect isn't on that level, but I think it might be. Other than kids being on the ship, this must be like Picard's like worst day as far as like, why do I got to deal with this?
And then he says, Troy, you got to come up here and help these people adjust, get these people under control. We cannot continue before their distractions. Captain Scenic Station 5. Let me see. They must have been coming up or something. And then Troy talks to Claire for a little while in the hall. Oh, this is when he runs into Troy. Then Troy talks to the country dude, Wade. I don't know who Wade is. I don't think there is any Wade. But she kind of tries to calm everybody down. Oh, no, that's not Troy. That's, the guy wants, yeah, he's trying to get some RX from Crusher, Sonny. Grading Pom Jam Pon Music Mom. Painting behind them with red craters. Oh, when Troy's talking to Claire, there's a cool painting behind her with red craters. LQ, Big Wand Birch Marble. Oh, in his room, there's a big marble sculpture. Oh, because he gets data sent to his room. And Dave goes, hey, what's up? He goes, I want to have a party. Suds and sounds. And he goes, you're doing good. He goes, yeah, I like to party, man. It's just the same dance, different tune. I need a guitar. And Data goes, I could replicate one. And he goes, okay, get it to me, man. You sack it to me. And they say, Data, we're near the neutral zone, by the way. Data goes, I got to get out of here. The guy goes, what's the neutral zone? He goes, I didn't know if this was actually, he goes, a buffer between the Romulan Empire and the Federation. I liked how it was just tucked in there, because is that not, he goes, are you going to have Romulans at this party? He goes, no, that wouldn't be appropriate. Something to do, same dance, different tune, neutral zone, no Romulans at the party, there's some music, Captain's Log Supplemental with the neutral zone, there's no bases, we can't find a trace of them at all, period, which is weird. And we show the crew talking about it. Couldn't have been any technology we know about. Some great force with insufficient information to figure out. Could it be natural or something? You say, let's go to the next station. Then the old rich guy is there, which was weird. I mean, the way the episode pays off, he's buzzing around. Mind your own business. He's with the LQ or whatever. And LQ says, mind your own business, because he's like talking trash about the ship and everything. He goes, I'm an expert at negotiations. He goes, they're just trying to do their jobs. We don't need them swimming in our soup. NYOB. And he goes, I'm not letting my fate be decided by others. I got to go, what's going on? Grabs guitar, pattern replicator. The rich guy storms out. Terra 9 in conduit, identical. Conditions identical. Everything's out. Riker wants to go to red alert. He says, well, that's a little bit more defensive than I think. I don't know. I don't want to send the wrong message. And Worf says, yeah, let's go to red alert. He goes, well, no rash actions. He says, we still have three other stops. Let's proceed in a calm and orderly manner. Riker says, well, how about yellow alert? He goes, that would be prudent. Make it so. The rich dude, Ralph's walking around. He figures out how to use the lifts, voice activation. And let's see. Worf, you can't get we shoulder up Riker, Captain. Wait. Let's see. He goes up. Worf says, there's something coming, large and moving. Can't get a view. Shields up. Riker wants to boot up. He says, let's wait. Let's let them. We don't want them to read our intent. Then they'll take a similar posture. Riker says, we got sufficient evidence. So does Worf. Here it goes, no. Then they say, well, it's weakening. They're gone. And we lost them. Picard says, DAA to the MN. And he goes, where are they? And then he goes, they must have worked on their cloaking. But Picard goes, yeah, they wanted to see our intent. And then Ralph's there. He says, who in the heck, why do we, you know, and they see, Riker goes, get him off the bridge. He goes, no. He literally, there's like two security people. He says, no. Oh, shields up. That's what I couldn't read. Do sneaks on board. Negative, Geordi. What does that mean? Because I'm not going anywhere. Then the ship comes in. The Romulan ship materializes. They can't believe they're seeing it. And Picard says, stay calm, open hailing frequencies. Got our answer. Dude, who are they? Can't get him off the bridge. Oh, two officers can't get that dude off the bridge. Captain, they're back. The green colored ship comes in. They take goes to a commercial break. Amazing. Never thought I'd be this close. And they hail. And then he says, it's Jean-Luc Picard. And Picard says, they say they're armed. He goes, yeah, but they haven't done anything. Picard knows they're not going to take the initiative, I guess. And one dude says, I'm Commander Tabak. Picard goes, what are you doing on the side of neutral zone? This is Federation turf. And other dude says, or the other Romulan says it's necessary. Picard goes, it could be aggression. And they go, if we were aggression, you'd know it. And they want to do stuff for the right reason. We're here because our outposts are missing too. And missing the same way yours are. Worf says, well, what gives you the right to come this far? And they say, silence your dog. Guard goes, answer the question. And they go, well, what are you asking us questions for? And they go, well, do you think we did it? And they go, no, too technologically advanced. Guard goes, who's responsible? And Ralph, they don't know why they give him this role. He says, they don't know. They're hoping you know, but they're too arrogant to ask. And Riker goes, you're out of line, mister. But Picard goes, he's right, unfortunately. And they go, we don't know. Why are all these outposts missing? Picard goes, how about in a proposal? And they say, an alliance? No way. And he goes, nothing so grandiose, just cooperation. We'll just share info about this. And they go, okay, and this one issue sounds good, only if it's convenient. And then they say, Picard, you're a thoughtful man. I'll tell you that. We've had more matters more urgent, and we shouldn't have dropped our guard down. Federation expanded. Our outposts vanished. We've been negligent, but no more. We're back. They say, we don't let, you know, they're still kind of saying, and then the Picard goes, get this old rich guy off my bridge. So pretty good, a really good scene. 3915. There's a good look. So Riker and Picard look. Then get the dude off my bridge. And Troy, one of those like genealogy sites up for Claire. She finds like her great-great-great-great-grandson named Donald too, like her husband. Maybe they could find each other. Then Picard has a proposal. He says, you can't stay on the Enterprise, but we're going to meet up with the Charleston. They're heading to Earth. They'll drop you off. And the rich guy says, what about, I don't have any rich stuff. How am I going to, he goes, material needs no longer exist. And this is like the end of the season, remember? So he says, well, what's the challenge then? And Picard says, the challenge, Mr. Offenhaus, is to improve yourself, to enrich yourself, and to enjoy it. And then the country guy goes, no one's going to remember all of my antics. And he goes, what if you, I mean, this would be great fan fiction, because he says, Data, why don't you come with me, be my side man? And Data says, that offer does present a certain fascination. Then our bridge, Geordi says, well, we could take him to Orlov 9 to be faster. Because Charleston's going to be there for a while. Oh, no, Starbase 39 Sierra in 5 days. It saved them months. Kirk goes, they need the extended time. They're not ready for Earth. Ainwright goes, pity we can't take them ourselves. It's like having a visit from the past. And Picard says, that would take us in the wrong direction. Our mission is to go forward, and it's just begun. Set velocity, warp 6, Mr. LaForge. And Geordi says, aye, sir, warp 6. He goes, there's still much to do, still so much to learn. Mr. LaForge, engage. And there was kind of like some music like Superman. And I don't know how long the season break was for. Already knew they had a second season, but a really strong ending. And yeah, that's how the episode ends. Now, a few things that came up. One was Riker's beard. I found two things. I didn't realize it was on the Urban Dictionary. So over at UrbanDictionary.com, there's Riker's beard, a euphemism for a moment in time, typically in pop culture, when something that was lackluster or underachieving surprisingly became much better and exciting, thought that Riker's beard coincided with the show hitting a real good stride. Also, they say Heather Locklear joining Melrose Place was that show's Riker's beard moment. All of them are like hard to follow, but yeah, just like it's the opposite, I guess, of Jump the Shark. So I thought that was interesting. Then there's a article from sci-fi.com, S-Y-F-Y.com. Or an excerpt from an interview with Jonathan Frakes about why Roddenberry wanted Riker to have a beard. And let's see. It talks about the Star Trek The Next Generation Blu-rays, the second renaissance of the show, the actors being interviewed. This is by the articles or the interviews, Danny Roth, January 14th, 2013. And because we got to find out this fun fact, the Riker beard, oh, they talk about that thing, but how did it come to be? Frakes grew the beard during the writer's strike that took place between seasons 1 and 2. But when Gene Roddenberry felt it should stick around, Gene said, Jonathan, I love the beard. It'll be nautical. We'll shape it, and that way it'll be decorative. And yeah, I think they have actually a video interview with him, so I'll link to that. I did just want to follow Worf a little bit here. Let's see, family history. I just wanted to go storylines, backstory. Worf was assigned to USS Enterprise D in 2364, relief flight control and tactical officer, lieutenant junior grade. But the next year, so that would be season 2, he became acting chief of security. And then the next year after that, he was transferred to the operations division and made acting chief of security, then formal chief of security. So that was just like why he's dressed a little bit differently. It just caught my eye. Derelict, here's a nice SAT word, probably in the earlier part, said derelict, D-E-R-E-L-I-C-T, it's an adjective, abandoned by owner or occupant, or lacking a sense of duty, or as a noun, in this case, in this show, something voluntarily abandoned, or a tract of land left dry by receding water, derelict. Also, derelict a dialect is a third base. I don't know if that's, I think it was their first album, maybe, with Prime Minister Pete Nice. Let's see. Aye, sir. This one I had to look up on Wikipedia. It's a phrase commonly heard in present-day naval language, and just one. It came in the English language in the 16th century or early 17th, meaning yes or so. It was also used as formal for voting in the House of Commons. The most common use of aye, sir, in naval, meaning a order has been received, understood, and will be carried out immediately. Oh, so it's like aye, sir, received, understood, and will. Oh, so it has different than yes, which could just mean simple agreement without an intention to act. I understand and will comply. Yes, interesting. I'm glad we looked that up. Okay, I pulled a few articles here about timeline of computing in 1987, when the show came out, when these episodes first aired, because I was just thinking about the, just what we used to disk drives and stuff, and I was like, where were we in 87? So the Mac 2 and the Mac SE were released March 2nd, so they probably did have 3.5-inch drives. The IBM PS/2 was also introduced in April. And yeah, they had the 3.5-inch drives or 3.5-inch drives, which could store 1.44 megabits. It's on the less expensive model, only 720K. Acorn Archimedes in the UK. Let's see what else we had. Some sound cards. Compacts started getting VGA. Oh, wow. VGA came out in 1987. Wow. Okay. So that was from Wikipedia. There's also this computerhope.com, Computer History 1987. CompuServe introduced the GIF standard, the GIF standard in 1987. Texas Instruments developed DLP, which is used in TVs today. I think maybe not anymore, though, in 87. Steve Wozniak left Apple February 6, 1987. First South by Southwest, first version of Microsoft Excel. Oh, the first ARM processor, Acorn Archimedes. Microsoft shares were $100. First email from China was sent to Germany September 20th. This was when, if you ever seen Criminal Life, that it was in 1987 with the Max Headroom thing. Apple HyperCard, Microsoft Works. So it's a little bit more. I wanted to look at pricing, though. Let's see. So this is PCWorld.com. Benji Edwards, 25 years of the IBM PS2. It's a good little history article. I just wanted to talk on the price, though. The four initial models that came out in April 87 launch were the Model 30, the Model 50, the Model 60, and the Model 80. It ranged dramatically in power and price, and low in the 30, which was like a PC XT. I think we had a PC clone, PC XT clone. Oh, yeah, 8086 CPU, 8 megahertz, 640K of RAM, 20 megabyte hard drive, and it cost $2,300, which would be about $4,600 in 2012. In the high-end, the Model 80, it was... it did cost 11 G's, which is like 22 G's. So, and neither one came with an operating system. You had to buy PC DOS 3.3 for about $120. So there's a little bit about computing. I looked up frosted glass. I ended up not looking up the right thing, though, because I was thinking of like frost on glass. This, you know, it's always interesting to find out what comes up. So let me see. Frosted glass. What else do we have? The Tomed Instrument. So yeah, frosted glass. Let's see. We got frosted glass. It could be produced by sandblasting or acid etching of a clear sheet of glass. A pitted surface on one side. Rendering the glass translucent by scattering the light and blurring images. This is what you would use in your bathroom, right? So just an interesting, I don't know, I looked it up, the Tomed incident. This is memory-alpha, fandom.com. Tomed incident was a confrontation between, I hit the wrong button here, the United Federations of Planets and the Romulan Star Empire in 2311, which led to the signing of the Treaty of Algernon, which banned the Federation from using cloaking devices in the withdrawal of the Romulan government until 2364. It might have a connection to the Beta Quadrant star Tomid. It was in a couple of books, which in that story, it was a staged thing where the Romulan ship, the Tomid, stopped accidentally on a Federation base. And when quantum singularity confinement of Tomid failed, it took out 13 Starfleet outposts and the USS Agamemnon. And all the bases were, in reality, all the bases were empty and rigged to emit false life signs. It sounds like a big cover-up on Starfleet. Interesting. I don't know. So you could read more about it in one of those two books that are in the link. Another SAT word, conjecture, conjecture, noun. An inference formed without proof or sufficient evidence. We're pretty familiar with that nowadays. Or a conclusion deduced by surmise or guesswork, or a proposition, as in mathematics, before it has been proved or disproved. It could also mean obsolete. Conjecture also is a verb, is to arrive at or deduce by guesswork, or to make conjectures. Conjecture, don't conjecture me, bruh. Here's a couple of pieces of tidbits. I wanted to look up the lifespan. This is from memoryalpha.wikia. Humanoids was known to vary comparative lifespans. The swarming moths of Gona 4. Bajorans. I'm just looking up. I want to know humans and Terrans. The average. Okay, here we go. The average human lifespan had greatly increased during the 20th century. 22nd century was 100 years. Still roughly the same during 2250, but was 120. 120 years by mid 24th century. And Leonard McCoy had reached 137 and by 2364. So that's just my general question when they're talking about the big farm there. Alcohol, whatever that Sonny Clemens or whatever wanted some alcohol. Alcohol is a colorless liquid chemical. This is also from memoryalpha.fandom.com. Due to its emboldening effects, called liquid courage. Vulcans don't drink wine and don't drink alcohol. Let's see. In the 24th century, alcohol was often replaced by synthol, which had all the properties of alcohol without the deleterious effects. Oh, Starfleet replicators could produce real alcohol. Okay, so that was my main question, was if that guy was drinking real alcohol. He could have been. We don't have a total definite yes or no. And then finally, the Queen Elizabeth II came up, also called the QE2, a floating hotel, retired ocean liner, built for the Cunard Line, was operated as a transatlantic liner and cruise ship from 1969 to 2008. Since April 2018, have been a floating hotel in Dubai, was designed to provide transatlantic service from her home port of Southampton, UK, to New York, named after the earlier ship RMS Queen Elizabeth, served as the flagship from 1969 until it was succeeded by the RMS Queen Mary II in 2004. It was designed in Cunard's offices in Liverpool and Southampton, built in Clydesbank, Scotland. She was considered one of the last great transatlantic ocean liners until Queen Mary II entered service. It was also the last oil-fired passenger steamship to cross the Atlantic in scheduled liner service until she was retrofitted with a diesel power plant in 86 to 87. undertook regular world cruises during 40 years of service. This is all from Wikipedia. She undertook regular world cruises during 40 years of service, predominantly as a cruise ship. Had no running mate, never ran a year-round transatlantic service. Did continue the tradition of regular scheduled transatlantic service crossings every year. Was never a Royal Mail ship. Retired in November 27, 2008. Private part of Dubai World, maybe. Let's see. Though it took a while. Let's see. In 57, it was obvious transatlantic travel was becoming dominated by air travel due to low cost and speed. At that time, it was 50-50. And the increase in air, like they had the Boeing 707 in 58, and it was becoming more and more expensive to operate some of these ships. But despite revenues, they didn't want to get, Cunard did not want to give up its traditional role. So it decided to replace its aging ships with a new ocean liner, the Q3. Let's see, anything else? Two engine, there's a lot more. I mean, you could link to it and check it out. Really interesting, you know, all this history and stuff. But yeah, that's it. Welcome back to the crew of the Enterprise. Good to be back with you. Good night. All right. I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts. Polly Cy Woot says, I think that's what Polly Cy, Polly, yeah. My wife and I have been listening every night for the past year and a half, and I always fall asleep before the thank yous. Scooter's voice is so relaxing. The podcast has made our nights a lot less anxious. Thanks. Thank you. Randy Red says, never listen to a full episode because I fall asleep. Thank you. Audrey says, sleeping emoji, heart emoji. Yeah, this has been my favorite podcast for months now. I found it after going through a tough time. You know, that made it even harder to fall asleep. Now when I hear Scoots' voice, I get immediately sleepy. And I've gone from listening to multiple episodes a night to falling asleep within the first 10 to 20 minutes. Thanks, dear Scooter. Thanks, Audrey. Katie says, hello. Hello from Taiwan. Thanks, Katie. Took me a little while to figure that out. I've not finished the whole episode awake. There's something about his voice that really puts me to sleep. Laughing emoji. Izzy Ox says, Izzy Ox, it's Izzy, but it makes me think Izzy. Izzy Ox, I love this podcast. Helps me fall asleep, finally gets me relaxed and away from my worrying thoughts. Thank you. Thank you. Magic, that's from Lucy Mars of the UK. Turned what he does into an art. Work and study puts into his vocal shows. Listen every night and put into a slumberous trance without fail. Highly recommend. Boyce says they don't like it. Boyce from Hong Kong says they want sleep music, not somebody murmuring. So I guess they just tuned into the wrong show. Malexander 003, sleepy emoji. Love this podcast. Works like a charm. Sometimes I'm up in the middle of the night for work and I have to go to bed for a nap and it helps too. Thank you. Double E, 1134 says, yes, it does the job. Thank you. Saf, 4455 from the UK says, grown on me. Something likable, acquired taste. The podcast has grown on me. I think that's all the people. Let me just double check if I thank to these people. Martian Pick, or Martin Pick, Indispensable. And Folks76 from Canada says, magic, never make it past. Someone call Harry Potter and his new wizard in town. So thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show over on Apple Podcasts. I really appreciate it. Sleep With Me exists. It grows by natural listener word of mouth. So thanks, everybody, for just naturally spreading the word about the show. I really appreciate it. Couldn't do it without you. And what else? So we exist as a free podcast because of direct listener support, either on Patreon or by our sponsors. So if you're in a position to do so, your actions keep the podcast free for you and everybody else.
I remember Night Vale Presents. You could check out all the amazing shows that Night Vale Presents, including the original that started it all, Welcome to Night Vale. Whether it's going to be your first trip to Night Vale and you're starting at episode one, you're like an occasional visitor and you know, it's time to return. So get over, listen to Welcome to Night Vale. I want to say welcome to Night Vale. I'm trying to get capture. You know what I mean. If you haven't listened and you're looking for something in the different than Sleep With Me, but in the same, a similar vein, I guess not the same. You know what I mean? They don't say, you know what I mean, three or four times, but I do. We're also a proud member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing over at PRX.org. And there's plenty of other episodes ready to go. You know, I'm here for you. You really do deserve a good night's sleep. So if you need it, queue up another episode. I'm ready. I'll be here to keep you company. All right, good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleeping Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On. which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabolix, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabolix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.